Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew, and then read and discuss the Word of Life for July. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi wants you to know that they are still open. Yes, their building at 615 Oliver Court is temporarily closed, but they are still alive and well and helping families on a limited basis and by appointment only. They're offering help through their emergency aid food pantry, emergency aid financial assistance, and other services. But you must call ahead and you must make an appointment. Their number is 361-884-0651. CatholicCharitiesCC.org. The Catholic Charities Flower Bluff Food Pantry is closed till further notice, but the main facility is open for business. But again, you must call ahead, Monday through Thursday. Again, their number, 884-0651. Catholic Charities, helping where it's needed.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you, Barbara?
I'm fine.
Happy late belated 4th, you know, yesterday.
Yes. It was a little bit of a different 4th.
Yes.
But still a lot of celebration
for our country. Socially distanced 4th.
Yes.
But I'm sure that's, anyway.
I know. It's our new
but
normal.
Hopefully fireworks are always distant from us. We're not shooting them at each other or getting in trouble. So it's always beautiful to watch them.
Yes.
The
yes.
colors and everything. So.
It makes us proud.
And the meaning, you know, the grateful for the gift of our country and the gift of the right kind of freedom that we all can share together and live as a harmonious family in our diversity.
We're very blessed. We are very blessed. As I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
This is a reading from the 11th chapter of St. Matthew's gospel, beginning with verse 25. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in this gospel, there are actually two parts here. Jesus talks about the wisdom and humility of the little ones, and then he talks about that he will take up our yoke and carry that burden from us.
Yes, but I'd like to also kind of link it to last Sunday. You know, last Sunday we had, the gospel of whoever puts mother and father and all these other things first before God. So we talked about putting God first in our life. And I think this is just a logical continuation of that from chapter 10 of St. Matthew to chapter 11. But it begins by Jesus praising his Father. So again, there's different forms of prayer, but praise, "I give you thanks, Father." How many of us return thanks and praise God for everything? But here he's talking about, because you have hidden these things. So what is he talking about, these things? It's really the mysteries of life, the life of God, the mystery of life in us that Jesus reveals to us. So some, unfortunately, I won't say don't have the capacity to understand, but are not disposed to understand the mysteries of God. But who are ready to receive the mysteries of God? The little ones. Mm-hmm. And I used that example last week, too, about the little girl that brought her mother to confession. So sometimes we get too wise in our own human ways, human wisdom. We get too smart to be able to understand God because we try to rationalize God. And you certainly, faith and reason go together. That's been proven for centuries. And more recently, we've talked about that in the church more and more, that faith and reason go together. There are ways to understand, but not when I put reason first. I can learn God away. Mm-hmm. In other words, I can mm-hmm. use my own logic and sometimes it fits together. But there's a certain point where reason or learning has to give way to faith because God is mystery. We can never completely understand. So Jesus kind of acknowledges that I give you praise for although you've hidden these things, the mysteries that I'm revealing, Jesus speaking, to the learned and the wise, you've revealed them to children. A child can understand. How many times, I'm sure in families, sometimes children will kind of astound their parents by things that they say, which are profoundly deep in meaning that the parents don't know what to do with it, kind of speechless.
It's out of the mouth of babes.
Exactly. And sometimes it'll be against us. You know, they'll see something that you told them not to do and they'll come right back at you when they see you do it. Mm-hmm. So there's this wisdom in the little ones that Jesus acknowledges here and thanks God for that. And so he goes on speaking about what is it that they understand. So he speaks that what you've told me, in other words, in the existence of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit living together, that you've given me that to bring here on earth. And no one knows who you are except me and anyone to whom I wish to reveal you. And Jesus can reveal them, but who can accept it? It's the little ones. So I think the challenge there for us is to be with the disposition of a child. Mm. Many prayers are so... when we're trying to really live a life with God, is just the simple prayer of teach me. I wonder sometimes in our own prayer if we just stopped trying to rationalize God and rationalize my situation and just teach me, Lord. Be with me, Lord. You know, just give God the position to be a part of my life to teach me. Mm-hmm. And that's what a child does. They're always learning. They're ready to learn, and that's the position of soul that God. We might be the smartest person on the face of the earth, a totally brilliant scientist, but still down deep, who are we in front of God? We're very small, and Jesus wants us to have that disposition of soul, that disposition of life always. When you look at the history of people, especially the great saints. And I think of the great saints. I've admired and kind of followed saints all of my life. But there's that, no matter who they are, no matter how intelligent they are, no matter how brilliant they may be in many disciplines of life, there's still a simplicity that's at the core of their being. Great leaders, great parents have at the heart of their life a simplicity that they can listen to their children as they can also listen to God. That is what makes, in my mind, a great parent. That's what makes a great person a great saint. And Jesus, I think, is acknowledging that today and giving thanks to God for that ability of any human person to be able to be a child at heart, so that all that God wants to give them, reveal to them, can be given.
When you were talking about the brilliant scientist, I was thinking that the scientist is brilliant because God gave him those gifts.
Yeah.
And he utilized them.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that we have comes from God.
Yeah, I studied Teilhard de Chardin, who was a Jesuit and a brilliant man, and some would debate his theories, although I'm not going to get into that, but a brilliant man. But he had a simple, simple heart, a simple devotion to the heart of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at some of these people that can just run circles around you with their mind, and yet down deep they're just simple, humble people. That's what Jesus is looking for in all of us here.
That humility.
The second part I think is important. I know our time's running out, but I just wanted to bring out something to all of us. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. There's all of us can say that about ourselves. We're burdened at times, especially now. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. So the meek and humility of heart that he wants of us, we can find also in him. And that's why he is one with God. And that's why he can also take our burdens upon himself. So I want to just give a little, how should I say, a little lesson to us when we do face burdens, and we are facing a lot right now in our country, in our world. So here's what we can do. When you're burdened, when you feel that life's heavy, turn to the Father and say, Father, I trust you. And then with that burden and that difficulty, that labor, after we've trusted, we lean on Jesus. Learn from me. You will find rest. So to lean on Jesus, and then you will find comfort in the Holy Spirit. That's, again, putting God first. Trust the Father that he knows what he's doing with my life. He knows what he's doing by allowing me to support this cross. He knows what he's doing. There's a plan there. There's an adventure there in life. Trust. That's the greatest thing we can do. It's what Jesus did all of his life. He trusted the Father even when he was on the cross. And then because Jesus has been through that same experience of human life with its difficulties, lean on him. Just say, you went through it. It's like your best friend. Mm-hmm. You went through it. I'm going through it. Let's go together. So in other words, you have a friend that you can trust. And then in that dynamic there, all of a sudden, we can and we will experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The situation, the problem, the burden may not go away. Maybe it will. But if it doesn't, at least we have the wisdom to understand this is God's plan for me, and we move forward with trust and with confidence. So I just wanted to throw that out to us, to not throw it out, but offer that today. Trust, lean, comfort. I don't know if we can make anything up. TLC. Well, tender, loving care. There you go. Thank you, Barbara. She's smiling at me. Trust, lean, comfort. TLC.
And that's going to help a lot of us, Bishop.
I hope so. Help me this week.
Yes. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for July. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The term shalom is usually translated as peace. Often, however, when concepts are moved from one language to another, something is lost in the translation. Shalom encompasses much more than the absence of external conflict or internal turmoil. Shalom is the state of condition of experiencing what is needed to live a fully human life, one that is not wanting in any of those elements we consider essential to complete the development of one's personal potential and therefore the richness of community life. For the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, these essentials include a rich and invigorating relationship with the source of all that is good, the source of all life. With the opening of Shalom Place, the Spirit Center now offers two significant settings for encounters with this God who is love. The Spirit Center is available to groups of all faith traditions. For more information, visit BlunserSpiritCenter.org. To book your next retreat, call 361-888-7537. Till then, Shalom.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in July, as we mentioned, and so we have our Focolare Word of Life. And Bishop, I know I sound like a broken record, but this just relates so well to the past couple of Sundays in our Gospels.
Right. Yeah. Well, it all somehow fits together everywhere and right. along the way. But yeah, sometimes it just has a logic to it. Mm-hmm. So for July 2020, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. From Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. Matthew's gospel recounts an episode in Jesus' life that could at first seem relatively unimportant. His mother and relatives of the family went to Capernaum, where Jesus was staying with his disciples, and proclaimed to everyone there the Father's love. They had probably walked far to find him, and they wanted to talk to him. They did not enter the place where he was, but sent a message. Your mother and your brothers are outside, asking to speak to you. The family dimension was certainly very important for the people of Israel. They themselves were considered to be children of God and heirs to his promises. Furthermore, the people of Israel regarded one another as brothers. But Jesus opened up an unexpected perspective. With a solemn gesture of his hand, he pointed to his disciples and said, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus revealed a new dimension. Anyone at all can feel part of this family. If that person is committed to knowing and fulfilling the will of the one Father. Anyone, adult or child, man or woman, healthy or ill, from every culture and social position, everyone, every person is made in the image of God who is love. Indeed, each person is a being created by God with whom he or she can enter into a relationship of knowledge and friendship. Therefore, anyone can do the will of God, which is to love him and one another. And if we love, Jesus recognizes us as his family, his brothers and sisters. This is such a huge opportunity that it catches us by surprise. It frees us from the past, from our fears, from our way of seeing things. In this perspective, even our limitations and fragility can be launching pads that propel us toward fulfillment. Everything takes on a qualitative leap. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. In a certain way, we too can be a, quote, mother of Jesus. Just as Mary made herself available to God from the moment of the Annunciation up to Calvary and then on to the birth of the Church, so we too can give birth and rebirth to Jesus in ourselves by living the gospel. Then, through mutual love, we can contribute to generating the presence of Jesus in the collectivity. On the other hand, on one occasion, when the founder of the Focolare, Carrie Lubick, was addressing a group of people eager to put into practice the Word of God, she said, "Be a family." Are there people among you who are undergoing a spiritual or a moral trial? Be understanding of them as a mother would, and even more. Enlighten them through your example and word. Don't let them lack the warmth of a family, but rather increase it. Are there people among you who are suffering physically? May they be our preferred brothers and sisters. Never put any activity of any kind before that of generating the spirit of family with those brothers and sisters with whom you are living. And wherever you go to bring Christ's ideal, the best thing to do will be to create with discretion and prudence, but with solid conviction, the spirit of a family. It is the humble spirit. It wishes the best for everyone. It is not proud. It is true charity. For whoever wishes to do the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Each one of us in everyday life can discover the task that the Father has entrusted to us for the building up of the great human family. In Homs, Syria, more than 150 children, mostly Muslim, attended after-school sessions in a Greek Orthodox school. Sandra, the director, explained, "We are a team of teachers and specialists, and our aim is to create a family atmosphere of welcome and support. Our work is based on dialogue and on the promotion of values. Many children are affected by the trauma and the suffering that they have experienced. Some are apathetic, others aggressive. We want to rebuild their trust in themselves and in others. The war often causes division among families, but here they find the desire and the hope to start again."
What a beautiful word of life for this month, when our world needs to really think about family.
Exactly.
And loving everybody like family.
It is exactly true. And I think, you know, we all have to look at what is it that unites us. We always look at what divides us in so many ways, whether it is race, religion, family background, whatever it is. But there is something that unites us, and something that I think we can use as a starting point for healing the divide, healing the divisions, the anger that continues to be a plague among us. And that is that there is a God, and this is the key point. There is a God. There is God. And because he is God, he's not human, except in his Son that he came sent to us. But God in himself is a divine person who has a great love for us because he created us. And in that love is a will. And his will, the will of anyone, that we think of the will of a mother for a family or a father for his family, is not that you divide. It's not that you criticize one another or that you shoot at each other or that you turn violent toward each other. That's not God's will. And sure, those things happen, unfortunately, but to heal ourselves, to heal our communities, to heal society, to heal the world, is to look up, raise our eyes upward, and to say, what does God want for us? Now, I know that that may sound a little far-reaching, but sometimes the truth is so far beyond us that it seems far-reaching, but it's not out of reach. And I would say to us in every community, that we look to see what is God's will for me, not only me, but for my brothers and sisters. We can easily judge by appearance. We can easily push aside because it doesn't fit my programs. We can easily forget that we're all created by God. And that's why Jesus, in this simple little scene that we're all very familiar with in the gospel, that when his mother and brothers and sisters, the family relations, mm-hmm. came to him and people said, your mother wants to talk to you. And he pointed to his disciples and those that were listening to him, who is my mother and my father? Right there, he gave us a new identity. We are all God's children. Whoever does the will of my Father, in other words, whoever responds to God, whoever puts God first in life, whoever is there is a brother, a sister, and a mother. Not only to him, Jesus, but to others. We have the potential. You know, this is the thing. We have not tapped into our potential as human beings in a human society. Because we try to figure it out. We try to program things. We just turn to legislation and things like this, which are important. But we don't really look at the true potential that we all have of being related to God and through God related to each other. We're too hung up with what makes us different. Diversity is a beautiful thing. But the reason that we're different, diverse, the reason God created us different, is so that we can reach and look into each other's soul and not just at the outsider, that we not only conform to each other because we're all alike, we're not uniformity, we're not all alike. So because we're different, we have to reach deep in ourselves and say, the only way I can come into a deeper relationship with this person is through love, which is who God is. God is love. We don't relate to each other because we speak the same language. We don't relate to each other because we have the same color of skin. We relate to each other in the true sense through love, the love that God has poured into our hearts. That is true relationship. And we are now at the point, I think, in our culture, our society, our communities, to reach into that deeper power that is in every human being and say, I choose to love. Help me to love. And only God can do that because God is love.
And as you mentioned earlier, we need to ask God for his help and his guidance.
Ask is sometimes beg. Help me to love.
Yeah. Right.
But it's there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The potential is there.
Yeah. We can do this. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from the slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.